the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. President-elect Donald Trump has pledged to impose a 25% tariff on Canadian industry when he takes office January 20th. So today I'm talking with London Free Press business reporter Norman DeBono about how that might affect businesses in our area, specifically the highly anticipated Volkswagen battery plant, which is being built in the St. Thomas area. Hi, Norm. How are you?
Rich, how are you? Thank you for this today.
Well, thank you for making time. I know you're busy talking to a lot of experts about this story, actually. So let's just go over, first of all, Trump has pledged to that one of his first orders of business once he takes office will be to impose 25% tariffs on imports to the U.S. What is his overall goal there? What's the aim of that?
So what he suggested is that he's threatening a tariff of 25% on goods from Canada and Mexico, and even a higher tariff of up to 35% on goods from China into the U.S. if two key issues are not addressed. That is the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into the U.S. The challenge for Canadian business industry and for politicians is that there's really not an issue. Like, there is no significant flow of fentanyl into the U.S. from Canada, and migrant flow is not an issue either. So it's difficult to know how to tackle that problem, which doesn't really exist. So, I mean, that's the political thing, and they will deal with that at that level, I think. So that's what has some people suggesting that it's a lot of bluster. It's a very aggressive bargaining position. He has a significant issue with Mexico, a very big issue with China. That's agreed. But Canada is not really part of his problem. So why are we being lumped in there? Well, I think he's making a point that the observers seem to think he's making a point about how he's not happy with the trade arrangement between Canada and the U.S. So he's making a significant threat, a devastating effect if it ever came into effect, in order to reopen the USMCA, which is the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that was negotiated in 2016 after he took office in 2016, came into effect in 2020. So we had, in a bit of ancient history here, we had NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, for decades, which seemed to work pretty well. He hated that, wanted it torn up. We agreed, the three countries sat down, renegotiated a deal that again came into effect in 2020, which was actually been very positive for Canada. It's been a very very fair trade agreement. That's where we've seen a significant increase in exports. Our trade market has done very well. So it has not, USMCA has not hurt Canada at all.
Okay. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit there, but you said the NC or USMCA has been good for Canada.
Yeah, it hasn't been bad at all. So Now he's saying that he wants to tear it up and renegotiate it. So, I mean, we're going to go back to that. So some people suggest this was posturing and a bargaining chip just to get back to the USMCA. But there's also the thought that we don't really know what's going to happen with this guy. Like, he's very unpredictable. He's a shoot first, aim later kind of guy. So, and whereas in 2016 to 20, he surrounded himself with professional staff and civil servants. Mm-hmm. Now he's surrounding himself with people who are less qualified. So there's a real concern about where this could go.
Sure. We're going to get into the, you know, how this could be detrimental to Canadian industry, but does he not have, this was one of my questions, does he not have advisors around him telling him this might be bad all around?
Yes. And it would be devastating for U.S. industry as well as Canadian. It would drive up the cost of goods in the U.S. significantly. A lot of American products are made with Canadian parts. A lot of utilities that U.S. enjoy come from Canada. Hydro is one. Oil is another one that's very significant. So those costs increase 25%. It could be devastating for several states along the border that deal heavily with U.S. with Canadian goods. So it would drive up inflation in the U.S. It would be devastating for Canadian industry, because if you're making a widget in London, Ontario, that you sell to a plant in Michigan, which, and believe me, that happens a lot, the cost of that good is up 25%. So the company in the U.S. is going to say, I can't really afford that anymore. Either I have to increase the cost of my product by 25%, or I have to end my relationship with the Canadian supplier and start buying that goods here in the U.S. So it could mean loss of jobs. It could mean a spike in inflation. It could mean a weakening of the Canadian dollar. It's potentially devastating. But I suspect from these people that I spoke to believe it, that it is a bargaining posture position that would really never come to light again, because it's a problem that doesn't really exist in Canada. We don't have a fentanyl flow from Canada into the U.S. If anything, it's the other way around.
Okay. Say this 25% tariff did come into effect. We're talking specifically today about the Volkswagen plant, highly anticipated in terms of jobs, the economic boon for the region in the St. Thomas area, just southwestern Ontario in general. How could that affect this plant?
Well, that's a good question, and it's very significant. I spoke with Andrew Schroeder, who is a professor at Ivy, but he's also an economist that does a lot of work in Germany. He's worked with Volkswagen, and he's a graduate of the Vienna School of Economics as well. So he's very well versed in German politics and German business practice, as well as teachers here in London. So he seems to think that if it comes into effect, there's a significant risk to the Volkswagen plant in St. Thomas. Volkswagen is very early days. They have not started construction. They're doing site prep now. I think they're pouring some concrete. They've only hired about 100 people in 2027. When it opens, it will employ about 3,000. So they're 3 years away from opening this plant. If they're going to, they could very well stop construction and shift the plant to the U.S. So London was the winner of this plant, or St. Thomas, rather, was the winner of this plant. But Tulsa, Oklahoma was the second place. So they considered Tulsa, Oklahoma originally. So the speculation is, could they go back to that now? They're not too far along in the construction, even though they've received significant federal subsidies to have a plant here. Still for them to go back. People are concerned about here now.
Right. So the plant is going to make electric batteries, which will be shipped to the States to be used and built in cars down there. This 25% tariff, is that going to, I guess it would essentially just make it too costly to build them here and export them?
So the batteries are being made. So Volkswagen, through its subsidiary PowerCo, are making electric vehicle batteries at the plant in St. Thomas, or will when it opens in 2027. It's under construction now. Mm-hmm. So and those batteries will supply two plants, a plant in Tennessee and a plant in South Carolina, where Volkswagen is making electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. So if in fact the batteries are increasing cost 25%, it's prohibitive to buy those batteries here and have them supply those vehicles. Mm. The cost of a battery is anywhere from 40 to 60% of the total cost of an electric vehicle. Wow. So if that increases 25%, it's just way too much. So
in essence, this tariff is going to affect all industries here. So it will either increase the cost of goods by 25% for consumers, or we just lose jobs because they're going to move to the States and just build them there.
I spoke to one small manufacturer who says the bulk of his, he's a machine shop that makes parts for machinery, makes machinery for other manufacturers. Mm. He sells most of his goods from London into the U.S. If the cost of his goods, if his machinery increases 25%, they will find suppliers in the U.S. The U.S. customers will find suppliers in the U.S. to buy from. Mm-hmm. He will have to lay off, even shut down, scale back his business. It's going to increase the cost of goods up to 25%. He will see a reduction in production here, which is going to mean layoffs and job losses. It could have a devastating effect. And that's just in manufacturing. There's also food. We have food products that go here into the U.S. If those prices increase 25%, again, the same thing's going to happen, right? They're going to either be job losses or a spike in costs and prices. But pharmaceuticals, agri-food, manufacturing, you know, basically all goods, there's a range of goods that are all sort of manufactured or grown or processed here that are shipped into the U.S. Demand could decrease for them, or the prices could increase. No one's going to buy them. So potentially it's a devastating effect. That's why they're hoping cooler heads prevail.
Yeah. Would it also affect Americans, American consumers and American industries potentially not receiving imports from Canada and Mexico?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, if these American businesses that rely on Canadian imports, they're going to see the cost of goods spike. So they're going to have to actually find either find new suppliers in the U.S., which is always a difficult process, or they're going to have to increase the cost of their goods. So they're going to become, it's going to cost more. They could lose customer, they could lose market share. Sales could drop for them. They're very concerned about it. And that's back in 2016 to 20 when the USMCA was originally negotiated. That's what changed the tone of the talks. U.S. states then went to the federal government in the U.S. at the time, to Trump at the time, and said, this can have a devastating effect on us. We really rely on Canadian trade. So so that was not that long ago. And even though it's a very volatile time in the U.S. politics, there's a feeling that that reason will prevail, cooler heads will prevail, and that the U.S. states, again, will go to them and say, many of which voted for Trump, to say, you're really going to hurt us here if this goes ahead. So that's why the feeling is it's really a threat against Mexico. Canada's being lumped into it. Canada's not going to be a problem. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spoke to Trump yesterday. He didn't give details, but he said it was a good conversation and a good dialogue. And he felt good about it. So, you know, I think that's a sign that we shouldn't be too concerned. So a significant factor here is just the unpredictability of what's happening in Washington right now. Donald Trump, he's a bit of a loose cannon, and they don't really know what to you know, is the volatility aggressive? So there is concern that people progress if reason and economics prevail, but there's a feeling that that this guy is too volatile, and they don't really know what is going to happen.
Sure. And it's funny because a lot of people voted that way in the U.S. election based on the economy now. You know, they feel it's not doing well or whatever. And that, but then this decision could hurt them even more.
It certainly could. Tariffs can have a devastating impact on imports and exports on American business as well as Canadian. I mean, it's a very heavy hand. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But I think there's a lot of hope here that it's a lot of bluster and bargaining.
Sure. Has Canada said how they might, you know, retaliate essentially if this does go through?
Oh, sure. I mean, when this happened, we have history that shows us that. When the USMCA was initially being negotiated and the U.S. increased tariffs on Canada, Canadian goods, Canada responded in kind. We increased tariffs on our exports into the U.S. as well, and on imports into Canada as well. And that affected American industry significantly. Like, our economies are literally meshed together. The supply chain is such that so many goods flow back and forth across the border in so many different sectors, from, like I said, from food to manufacturing to energy, oil and gas to hydroelectric. You know, all of the eastern seaboard in the U.S. comes from Quebec, the power for that. So, I mean, you can't really separate that. And so, really, if you hurt one, you're going to hurt the other. So, so Canada did retaliate. That was felt, and that's one of the factors that drove us to get a fairly significant and favorable deal with the USMCA.
Right. Okay, so as of right now, we don't know if this is for sure yet. If it happens, it won't be until after January 20th. Are we just kind of keeping an eye on any concessions that might be made, some of the experts that he might put in place before then?
So what's interesting is that Mexico and Canada can and likely would respond with retaliatory measures. That tariffs would be placed on U.S. goods into the U.S., which would affect their sales and their prices. They will respond. Mexico came out very strong yesterday, the president of Mexico, and sort of suggested that fentanyl from Mexico into the U.S. is not a problem, as Canada has done as well. But you know, I think there was a willingness to sit down and talk this through, trying to negotiate a settlement. If they do that, then
cooler heads prevail. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Norm. We will definitely keep an eye on this and all of your reporting, especially about the VW plant and how that's coming along at lfpress.com. Thanks for joining me today.